Jesus, thank you, Jesus. How many believe there's a healer in the house? Clap your hands if you believe there's a healer in the house. Hallelujah. And I'm confident tonight that that healer, and his name is Jesus, is going to touch all of those tonight that will open up their hearts and receive the things of the Lord, from up here on the platform all the way back to the very back row. The Lord is going to touch and help and deliver and save and keep if we will yield to Him. Let's say that name again, Jesus. Say it again, Jesus. What a friend we have in Him. Is He a friend to you? All our sins and grief to bear. And nothing is withheld that's good from those that put their trust in God. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, how we need Him. I alluded to this morning in the Bible class. I want to mention it here again tonight. We have many deficiencies as human beings. And sometimes when we think about it, we realize how pronounced they are. We have good eyesight, but we don't have nearly as good of eyesight as dogs have. And our sense of smell, our sense of hearing is not nearly as keen as many animals. I also mentioned that if the lobster should break off one of his legs, nature has equipped him with the ability to grow another leg. That's a tremendous advantage. And we don't have that advantage. If we lose a leg, we're just without a leg forever. But the Lord has provided in the spiritual realm some concepts of healing. He perpetuates healing in the church. You are not cursed to be eternally wounded forever. There's healing in the church. There is a ministering spirit in the church. There is perpetual healing in the church. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. You believe that? Perpetual healing. There was a man. He was a tremendous man. The angels of God predicted his birth, and he was born according to their predictions. His name was Samson, and he was greatly blessed of God. He was tremendously witty and wise. He had a great sense of humor. His life was set apart. He was a Nazarite unto the Lord. His hair was never to be cut, and he had tremendous power and great strength. And with his ability, he managed to beat back the enemy and to defeat them on many, many occasions. But one day he walked into the house of a harlot, and Delilah seduced him, and he was wounded and crushed. He was taken captive by his enemies, who punched out his eyes, who made him like a beast of the field to grind the grain in the dungeon, and they brought him up for their ceremonies, and they taunted him, and they said, "Our God is greater than the God of Samson, because this great man is now, his eyes are blinded, and he is an absolute nobody. What do you do if you are a Samson? What do you think about if you are a Samson? How lonely are the nights, how horrible are the days, how deep is the pain, how absolutely crushing is the illness that would grip your soul if you was in a place like Samson, a hero, a giant man, a man among men, gifted of God, anointed of God, used to crush the enemy with his one hand and a jawbone of an ass. He defeated thousands of men in one day. What a man." They sung songs about him. They wrote poems about him. But now he is a blinded, poor, wretched soul. What do you think about? What do you do when you've been hurt so bad? And especially if the reason for your hurt is your own stupidity. your own failing, your own triviality, and your own lust and your own passion. What do you do with people who have been hurt as a result of their own mistakes and their own failings, who have locked themselves, literally locked themselves in dungeons of fear and doubt and repression and worry and torment? And what do you do with people like Samson who've been so deeply hurt? As a pastor, the thing I deal with more than anything else is hurt. I'm here tonight, and I believe, under the direction of the Holy Ghost, to deal with hurt tonight. I'm going to tell you tonight how the Lord can heal your hurts. Even if the hurts have been self-inflicted, if you'll listen close tonight, we are going to permit the Holy Ghost to heal our hurts. In a few minutes, I'm going to invite you to go back to the prayer room. And if you will have faith in Jesus Christ tonight, if you will trust in Him, I'm going to tell you that God has provided within the church a perpetual ministry of healing. And it works. And every hurting person can go home tonight knowing that God has washed away the stigma and washed away the pain and washed away the hurt, even if it is a self-inflicted hurt. And we do inflict ourselves. Most of the things we suffer in life are the result of our own stupidities and our own failings and our own idiocy, if you'll pardon the word. We just make bad things happen in our lives. And so it was with Samson. He was hurt. What do you do, Samson? 1,000 times he must have asked himself the question, what do I do to get out of this dungeon of despair? Like many of you who have thousands and thousands of times gone through the scenario in your mind, remembering how you got to the place of loneliness and the place of worry and the place of doubt and the place of fear and the place of bitterness, and you've asked yourself, how do I get out of this place? What do we do with you tonight? How do we minister to you tonight? How is it that the Holy Ghost can make a difference in somebody's life here tonight? And I believe He can. I believe the Holy Ghost is here for that purpose tonight. I believe the Holy Spirit is here for one purpose tonight, and that is to make everybody that has something in their heart that's wrong, to make everybody see that there is a way of escape. Remember this, God never puts you in a place so bad or so low or so tough, but what He doesn't always make a way for our escape. I've got an announcement I need to make tonight. There is a mighty God, and He sits on the throne, and He loves the church, and He is not willing that any should perish. But it is the will of God that all of us be healed and redeemed and touched and delivered and saved. And I need somebody to help me preach just a little bit now. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Wouldn't you like to see the Holy Ghost sweep across this place? Now, let's not play games tonight. There are people here that have some wounds. They have some hurts. I'm not here to investigate. We're not here to run some kind of trial here tonight to try to figure out all the whys and the reasons and the hows. But we are here to talk about a means by which we can overcome. I believe the Holy Ghost wants us to be overcomers. We're not here to pretend tonight. We're all real human beings in a real world. And sometimes we walk into some places where we have no business. And we do some things we should not have done. And we say things we wish we had not have said. And we do and commit things that are so horribly wrong. And yet, somehow, in every sin, in every failing, in every doubt, in every trouble, there is always a God that says, if you call on Me, though you've sinned, though you've made a mistake, I still know how to fix it tonight. I still know how to correct the thing. I still know how to put you back on the path of righteousness. I still know how to give you a new start. I still know how to cleanse your heart. I still know how to forgive you of every sin. What a mighty God we serve! I want to announce to you tonight there's perpetual healing in the church. You know what's wrong with too many apostolics? We don't come to this glorious fountain often enough. We don't come to this wonderful fountain of refreshing often enough. We sit back. We pretend that we're not hurting. We pretend we don't have a need. We pretend there's nothing to worry about. We put on masks. We go through all kinds of antics to make sure that nobody knows what's going on in our life. But it's time to realize that the Lord is coming very soon, and His Spirit will not always strive with men. And today is the day of salvation. This is the Lord's day. It's time for us to get in the Spirit and say, God, wash me. Make me clean. Forgive me of ever failing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Clap your hands again unto the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I believe there's people here tonight that's tired of lying to yourself. You're tired of fooling around with it. You're tired of carrying it. You're like somebody defiled by the dead body of a person. You pack it around everywhere you go. But the Lord wants to cut all the chains tonight. He wants to liberate the soul. There's a means by which we can be healed tonight. I tell you of another man who was a good man. And even as a lad, he was acquainted with God and God's way. He was perfect before the Lord. His heart was without any kind of impurity. And he loved God. He went down to the battlefield when all of his brethren and the entire army of Israel were shaking in their boots. For days they had been taunted. Not just two or three days. Days, weeks they had been taunted by this giant. And Goliath, and he had called upon someone to fight, and there was no one to fight. And little David goes, as we so well know the story, and put on faith and courage and walked into that battlefield with five stones and a slingshot and came in the name of the Lord and killed that giant and cut off his head. And the people so loved him, and he was so blessed of God. But the Bible said that there was a spirit that entered into the heart of King Saul. And when the people began to sing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s, the Bible said that the eye of Saul began to eye David. And he began to talk about him and gossip about him. And he got envy in his heart, and he got jealousy in his heart. And one day while David was sitting at Saul's table, innocently having dinner with the family, Saul picked up a javelin and tried his best to pin the body of David to the wall, but he missed. And David had to flee for his life, and for years, not because he did anything wrong, not because he was foolish or because he was sinful, but because he was righteous. Oh, how the righteous suffer. He lived in caves. He had to run for his life. What do you do with David? He is so hurt and so wounded and so filled with trouble. How many nights did David look up into the sky and see the stars twinkling through his tears and say, "What have I done to deserve this kind of treatment?" A lad that had been accustomed to the finery of life was now living like an animal in caves. He was chased relentlessly by Saul and his band of armies, and they tried to kill him. And David, poor David, had done nothing wrong, but he suffered this horrible pain, the scar across his heart. And how many times must he have said, "All I wanted to do was to see the name of the Lord exalted. All I wanted to do was to see to it that Israel was not defeated by the Philistines. That's all. That's all I wanted. I just wanted what was righteous." And in spite of his humility and in spite of his spirit and in spite of his attitude, he was wounded. He got hurt. Hear me tonight, Calvary Tabernacle. You can do your best. And in spite of the fact that you may be able to say, "I have done no..."
in caves. He was chased relentlessly by Saul and his band of armies, and they tried to kill him. And poor David, had done nothing wrong, but he suffered this horrible pain, the scar across his heart. And how many times must he have said, "All I wanted to do was to see the name of the Lord exalted. All I wanted to do was to see to it that Israel was not defeated by the Philistines. That's all. That's all I wanted. I just wanted what was righteous." And in spite of his humility and in spite of his spirit and in spite of his attitude, he was wounded. He got hurt. Hear me tonight, Calvary Tabernacle. You can do your best. And in spite of the fact that you may be able to say, "I have done no wrong. I've not hurt anybody. I've not intended. I've not had anything in my heart." People will still take you wrong. And sometimes the javelins of fear and doubt and jealousy will come your way. What do you do when you've been hurt and you've been wounded and you've been rejected? Not because you've been bad. It's easy to understand Samson. But what about David? Now the answer for both David and Samson is exactly the same. It's the same answer for every one of you here. What do you do when you've been hurt? The Holy Ghost is here tonight to give you the answer as to what you can do when you've been hurt. Now you have to decide if you're going to live for God or reject God. Now remember, when we say choice, everybody say choice. It's not a choice between God and another way, because if you reject God, you reject the only way. You have the option to reject God. But remember, if you reject God's way, if you decide to play this game by another set of rules, every other way except God's way is the way of death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There's only one way. Let's say one way. So when we say every man has a choice, his choice is this. You can either accept God's way or reject God's way. That's it. But if you reject God's way, it's death. If you accept God's way, it's life. The choice is life or death. The choice is heaven or hell. Friend, you do not have an alternative. You either accept Jesus Christ or you live life your own way. Do your own thing. But if you do your own thing, it's sure death. Now, I'm going to talk to you tonight about a way to be healed. And I feel the strength of the Holy Ghost coming on me right now. And what I'm going to preach to you tonight is going to take the power of the Holy Ghost. And what I'm going to ask you to do is going to take courage on your part. But if we will all obey the Lord tonight, if I will obey the Lord, and if you will obey the Lord, then the Holy Ghost is here tonight to help us so that when we walk out of the doors of Calvary Tabernacle tonight, we're going to be brand new. We're going to be thinking differently. We're going to be acting differently. We're going to get a new grip on this thing. And I believe if we can all get healed tonight spiritually, if we can all get healed spiritually tonight, then there is no telling what kind of apostolic Holy Ghost revival can break out in the city of Indianapolis. Somebody say hallelujah. But we've got to all come to Jesus tonight. We've got to all kneel fresh at the altar. We've got to let the blood of the cross drip on us one more time. We've got to let bygones be bygones. We've got to submit ourselves to the one that's able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and filthiness of the flesh. Somebody help me preach. Clap your hands just a little bit more. And talk to every heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I want you to talk to our hearts tonight. We've got to go home a different way tonight. We've got to go home a different person tonight. We can't leave here like we came. We can't leave here with a doubt. We can't leave here with fear. We can't leave here, God, with anything except a clean heart. Oh, God, we need renewal tonight. We need a new touch tonight. We need a brand new baptism in the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me tell you, I believe that God wants us to live from faith to faith and from victory to victory. I'm living, the songwriter put it, from glory to glory. Isn't that the way you want to live? From glory to glory. Well, the only way you can do that is to have a perpetual healing going on in your life at all times. Because it is impossible to live life without failure, mistakes, and hurts. It's impossible. No one has ever done it. Sometimes they come because they're self-inflicted, like Samson. And I'm simplifying it, but let me just go quickly. Sometimes they come as a result of the fact that you've done right. But they come. Jesus was crucified without ever committing a sin. They hated Him, and He said, "You shall be hated of all men for My name's sake." They'll hate you because you love that name, sometimes for no other reason. They'll hate you just because you are a Christian. Many times you're in hot water because you filled the tub up yourself. And sometimes you're in hot water because someone threw javelins at you that you did not deserve. But I don't know how to live life without having some hurts. What we have to do is understand the means by which we can be constantly renewed. Some of you need to grow a new leg tonight. You need to get a new heart and a new spirit. Paul said, "I die daily." I believe we can be renewed every day. I believe there is a wonderful healing virtue in the church. I'm here to tell you tonight, the healer is in the house. How many would like to get a fresh start? Amen. David said it, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Let's say it together. "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." Paul said to Titus in chapter 3 and verse number 5 that there is a renewing in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said the outward man, he dies a little bit every day, but the inward man is renewed every day in the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you there is perpetual healing in the church. It doesn't matter how you've been hurt. There is a healer in the house. It doesn't matter what's gone wrong in your life. The one that's able to fix your heart is here tonight. There's a healer in the house. It doesn't matter what's gone wrong in your life. The one that's able to fix your heart is here tonight. Clap your hands a little bit. Yes. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Somebody pray again to that name, Jesus. How many would like to see the Holy Ghost just come in here tonight and set some people free? The devil would like to bind you. The devil would like to keep you oppressed. The devil would like to keep you worried. The devil would like to keep you tormented. But there is a God that came to this earth and died on Calvary to set us free, that we might have new life, and that we might have life more abundantly in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish I could get somebody to believe with me just a little while. I wish somebody would just let your faith go. Hallelujah. Let me tell some of you folks why you need to plug into what I'm preaching about tonight. You've got some friends here. You've got some friends that you know have been hurt. You don't know how to deal with their hurts. I tell you this carefully and sincerely. I don't always know how to deal with everyone's hurts. I've seen hurts so bad, and sometimes even hurts that were unfair, unjustified hurts that were working in people's lives. I've seen people who were under the constant barrage of javelins and darts. The enemy's like a roaring lion going to and fro. He's always trying to throw something at us and hurt us. He constantly is accusing the brother. I've seen people that were under the gun. I don't always know what to say to them. You don't always know what to say to your friends. But you better never take it lightly. Because when people get hurt, when people get their feelings hurt, when people get under the oppression of pain, or they get under the oppression of something that's gone wrong in their life, it's a dangerous thing. The Bible said a little root of bitterness can get in your heart, and thereby many can be destroyed. What do you do with Samson? Is there a formula for Samson? Who inflicted pain on himself when he visited the house of the harlot, and he fiddled around with the wonderful anointing of the Holy Ghost. Yes, what do you say to Samson? And what do you say to David, who was, for the most part, without fault, at least at the time that he was under this horrible attack from Saul? He was a man, a good man. Even when he could have taken his sword in the middle of the night and he could have nailed Saul to the ground and Saul never would have known what hit him, David just cut off a little piece of his garment and purposed in his heart that he would not touch God's anointed or do his prophet any harm. What a man David was. And yet he suffered. Now here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 13 is the formula. It's what you've got to do. It's what Samson did, and it's what David did. And I could give you
many other examples. We could go on and on and preach all night. But it's what you've got to do. Suffice it to say, it's what you have got to do. Listen close. Listen close. There can be no apostolic revival until we learn in the church how to get a perpetual healing going. We cannot have revival with folks sitting around and fuming and fussing over hurts for years and years and months and months. You can't function that way. I get hurt every week, but I have to come back to this pulpit and preach again and again and again. I have to figure out a way to get healed. I can't come in wounded all the time. I can't come in bleeding all the time. I got to figure out a way to get healed. And I think I've figured out a way. I think I know a way. Not because I'm smart, but just because it's in the Word of God. And I want to point it out to you tonight. You don't have to carry it forever. You don't have to deal with it all the time. You don't have to relive it over and over and over and over. Samson had it right. I believe that somewhere in his heart, he thought it all over. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what is right. Now Paul put it in a little different way. Now look here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 13. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Now, not all paths, hear me now, not all paths are straight. What Samson decided to do, and what you have got to decide to do, if you will be healed. And Paul concludes this 13th verse by saying, instead of falling and failing and stumbling, it's better that you be healed. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. If you take a crooked, rocky road, you're going to get hurt more, not less. If you make the wrong choice, you're going to magnify your pain and magnify your hurt and magnify the trouble. So you have to make a right choice. The right choice is a straight path. Or, to put it another way, to choose righteousness. To choose to do what is right. Then, and only then, can your heart be healed. Samson decided to do what was right. David clearly decided to do what was right. While he was being chased by Saul, he continued to fight Saul's enemies. While he was being pursued by Saul, he kept doing Saul's favors. He kept working for the kingdom. He kept making roads for the will and the purpose of God. He kept preparing his heart and preparing his mind to do the work of God. He always did what was right. Now, if you would be healed, you must do always what is right, never what is wrong. You must make a straight path for your feet. It doesn't matter how the pain has come or how the hurt has come. Your choice is this. You must either make a straight path or you will become more lame. If you have been hurt, then doing wrong will not make the hurt better. It will make the hurt worse. Revenge does not help you. It makes you more crippled. It bungs you up further. It makes you more lame. Paul said, let me tell you what we ought to do. Instead of becoming more crippled and more lamed and more filled with hurt, we need to be healed. Should we turn it out of the way? What should we do with Samson? Let him be healed. How can Samson be healed? Samson must be prepared to do what is right. How can we heal David, a man who did no wrong? He must do what is right. How can we heal you? You must purpose tonight to do what is right. How can we heal you? You must purpose tonight to do what is right. We say it clichéically that two wrongs do not make a right. That's so true. You can never do a hurt and justify a hurt or make a hurt right. You have to do what's right. Make straight paths for your feet. When Samson finally got the opportunity, he managed to get his hands on those pillars and he felt for that crack and felt for the weakness in that wall, and he prayed a prayer. He said, God, one more time. I want to do what's right this one more time. Make straight paths for you. Let it be healed. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalms 103, we have a God who healeth all our diseases. Do you know what you could do tonight? Just as Israel went out every morning and gathered up manna, you can gather the manna of healing here tonight and refreshing and renewal. Arise, God. Come to us with healing in your wings. With healing in your wings. How can I be healed? How can I be renewed? How can I get a fresh start? Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I keep doing what's right. Doing what's right. I want the speakers turned on in the prayer room so that the men back there have been praying for us now for some time, because we need the Holy Ghost to move through us. I want heads bowed, please, and eyes closed. Thank you. What shall we do with it? I say, let it be healed. It's broken. What shall we do with it? Fix it. I don't function anymore. I don't feel the same anymore. How did you get in that place? Was it your fault? Did someone do you wrong? You're human. I'm human. Those things evolve in our lives. It comes about, and sometimes we take things the wrong way, and suddenly there we are in some dungeon of despair. Now, what do we do with you? Do we let you stay there forever? Or do we say, let it be healed? I'm trying to say to you tonight, and I believe the Holy Ghost is trying to say to you tonight, would it be better for you to be healed? See, I've gone so long, I've thought about the Holy Ghost. Could I get the Holy Ghost tonight? Yes. How much better it is for you to be healed. Wouldn't you like to get to that place where you could just not have to worry about anybody or anything? You would just feel free in the Holy Ghost. You lived without envy, and you lived without strife. You lived without jealousy. Let it be healed. Let it be healed. There is in the church a plan for perpetual healing. It works this way. Every injured person, everybody that's ever been wounded, must have the desire to do what's right. And God has given you the power, in spite of the problems you maybe have, to do what's right. You need not fail. Now let's pray together right now. Jesus, in your precious name, we've come to a point tonight in this service, Lord, where we must all make choices. Many people tonight will choose to be healed. Some, God, will wrestle with the decision. Perhaps they will choose to walk out of here tonight untouched and unchanged. But I believe that there is renewal here for all of those that will call upon your name. And I ask you to have your way right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Korsot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the
precious name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, God, I love you, Jesus. I don't know how to give this altar call tonight. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Yes, 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 yes Thank you, Jesus. 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 Love the Lord with me just a moment longer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God. Oh, God. Would you stand with me? There are men in the prayer room tonight. I've asked them to be ready. They're going to kneel with you and pray with you. You have to make a decision tonight. There's some of you here that need to let God heal you tonight. I'm deeply burdened tonight. I am deeply burdened. There's something the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to us here tonight. I don't know how to tell you to respond except to say that you need to just be real enough, I guess, to just come to the altar. I want you to go back to the prayer room this side or that side and just find yourself a place to pray and say, I need some things healed in my life. I need some things taken care of in my life. I need to leave some things at the foot of the cross tonight. I need to make a commitment to do what's right. I don't care how you've been hurt. There's nobody that can avoid being hurt in this life. The devil attacks us. Sometimes in our finest hour of accomplishment and spiritual achievement, he attacks us. And you have to just come and say, God, I need to be healed. I need to be strengthened. I will not carry any old baggage. Do you know people carry luggage through life? Carry luggage through life that's totally cumbersome, totally unnecessary. Don't have to do it. It's tragic, see people trying to travel with too many bags. Have you ever seen people traveling with too many bags? Have you ever gone somewhere with somebody and they have too many bags? People that carry things they don't need, they'll not need. It's terrible to travel with people like that. You've got one little briefcase and they've got tons and tons of baggage. You spend all your time carrying their stuff. There are Christians that try to go through life with all kinds of baggage. They can open up their suitcase and tell you what happened and what happened and what happened and what happened. I'm talking to you about getting healed tonight. I'm talking to you about having enough courage to come out of your pew tonight and just work your way to the prayer room and kneel there and say, God, I've got to go home a different way tonight. I've got to be healed tonight. I've got to leave it all aside tonight. I can't worry. Whatever it is, I've got to leave it there. I want you to come as we sing softly. If you need God's touch, whatever the thing, whatever the problems, nobody's here to analyze. Nobody's here to try to figure it out. Just come and say, God, I need to be healed. I need to be healed tonight. I need somebody to pray with me. I need to just make a commitment. I'm going to do what's right. And when I leave this place tonight, I'm committed to doing what's right. I don't care what anyone else does to me. I'm going to do what's right. And the Lord will meet you here. Now as we sing, who will come? Who will come? Hallelujah. Jesus, let's sing.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Have thine own way.
Let's pray for one another. Come on, sinners, you need the Holy Ghost.
Some of you, maybe you're having a hard time getting in the prayer room. Just come fill up this front part. If you are a visitor to our services, we invite you to stay here and pray with us for a while. you must go. You may at this point consider yourself dismissed with no embarrassment, but we will be here for a while. We invite you to stay with us. Understand, brother and sister Lon are here. Brother and sister Lon, are you still in the building? God bless you. I meant to recognize you earlier. We're so happy to have you tonight. I do want to meet you.
Why?